Imagine that unbelievable new deck in your backyard. Outdoor Living Unlimited is Wisconsin's number one TimberTech deck builder. Building new decks and replacing old ones, creating that million-dollar feeling every time you relax in your own backyard. Looking for a company to make your backyard scream wow? Stop by Outdoor Living Unlimited's resourceful Waukesha showroom and visit OutdoorLivingUnlimited.com.
It's time for some fresh air, so start packing, put on some sunscreen, and grab your favorite walking stick. This is WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Here's your host, Steve Scafidi.
Welcome to WTMJ Outdoors, another great Saturday program. This is a cool one, because not only is it a great guest, but he's also the owner of Outdoor Living Unlimited, our proud sponsor of WTMJ Outdoors. He's also an outdoor enthusiast. Eric Brown, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good to be here. Thanks for having me, Steve.
So how do you define outdoors? Like, what are you enthusiastic about outdoors?
Well, I'm how I define outdoors is decks, pavers, patios, outdoor kitchens, all that stuff. How you can live outside your house, in your backyard, how you create that amazing, you know, where you want to be, how you want to feel, how you want to enjoy life. That's how I look at our outdoors, which was cool because when presented with this opportunity to sponsor WTMJ Outdoors and it being about hunting, fishing, like all of the stuff.
Everything outdoors.
Outdoors. I'm like, you know what? This is pretty cool because everybody goes hunting for a little bit. Like maybe it's a few weeks in the fall. They go fishing for weekends during the summer, but they all come home and they all have to come home to somewhere where they want to really hang out.
So I have talked to you over the years, and I've certainly heard all of your ad campaigns here at 620 WTMJ. Experts in sort of the deck experience, TimberTech decking.
Yeah,
tell people what that is, because not everybody hears that name or that brand. What is that exactly?
Yeah, so TimberTech is the decking material. They're the manufacturers, and if you have your favorite gun or fishing pole, rod, reel, all that stuff, this is our favorite. Like that. This is our favorite decking.
Why is it your favorite? The
colors that they manufacture, the colors they use, the durability of the product, how long that deck is going to look beautiful and last a long time, all of that, just the way it's manufactured, the way it goes down, like from an installation team, from an installer, the way it installs, I mean, just everything about it, it's a premium deck product. That's why it's the only deck product that we use, and we're number one in Wisconsin in using it. So we build a lot of decks, we build a lot of them well, and we build a lot of them using TimberTech.
So the other side of this is the whole patio experience, and, yeah. And you've been in the business for a while, and I've got a nice patio at home. It sort of evolved from just a place you used to sit in your chairs outside to basically another kitchen, another living space. That evolution has been incredible.
It's wild. Wisconsin, the Midwest, always seems to trail when it comes to some of these ideas and designs. People, they'll go out of our area, they'll go to Florida, they'll go to Texas, they go to California, Arizona, all these different areas, and then they come home with ideas. And that's what we talk about. We tell people, go on vacation, go visit friends and family, bring those ideas back here. We'll design something that you want in your backyard all the time. And that's where a lot of ideas catch fire in Wisconsin. And now we are looking at maybe 25, 30 years ago, it was just a deck. But now we're looking at a whole area in the backyard with the outdoor kitchen, all of this stuff, just a way to live life better.
Eric Brown, owner of Outdoor Living Unlimited, our proud sponsor and partner here at WTMJ Outdoors. What's the hottest trend in the outdoor living space right now?
The hottest trend has to be these structures. They're pergolas. I don't know what to call them, to be honest with you.
Well, you should know.
I should know, and we're trying to figure this out. But they're like pergolas were always these wood structures to break up the light.
Right.
And we work with a product that is it's all aluminum. It's all extruded aluminum, so it's made to last. It's powder coated, so it's also made to look fantastic. It goes up. It looks like a pergola. It has the slats, but you can press a button, close the slats, and now you're protected.
Wow.
So it's this automated structure that's more than a pergola. That's why it's hard to define what it is. And then on the sidewalls, if you want a screen, you can press a button and the screens will roll down. Those screens will protect you from bugs. They actually will knock down the wind. They also are privacy screens. So these structures have been really the rave in Wisconsin.
I suppose with the, you know, the changing weather, we had, you know, obviously big storms recently, that keeping some of the weather out, even when you're outside, is probably a big part of that story.
With these structures, you could have been outside in the latest rainstorm and just enjoyed the weather, enjoyed the rain, stayed dry, and just been able to just enjoy Wisconsin.
Eric Brown from Outdoor Living Unlimited on WTMJ Outdoors. I got to ask you, I know you're an outdoors guy. You talk about hunting and fishing, but you're also, I think, a golfer, and you love baseball. I think your son plays baseball, right? That's part of the outdoors as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When we talk about sports and stuff like that, we go on baseball trips. My boys are off in college now. But when we would do the whole youth baseball thing, we would go down to Iowa, go to Indiana, go to the southern part of Illinois. And we would find when they're not playing baseball, we would find, a creek or a river or something like that to go fishing.
I don't want to let you get out of here without telling folks the easy way to get a hold of Outdoor Living Unlimited for whatever your project. I think the tag was make your dreams come true outside or whatever. That is something that's certainly people can do. How do they find you guys?
OutdoorLivingUnlimited.com. You can go to Instagram, Outdoor Living Unlimited, or call us 262-567-4513.
I love it. Eric Brown, owner at Outdoor Living Unlimited, proud sponsor and partner of WTMJ Outdoors. We'll do it again in a couple months, see what else is going on in your industry. And with you, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Lots more to come on WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited on 620 WTMJ.
Back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited. This is an interesting one because I love when people come to the show. And in this case, we're joined today by Mallory Payne. She's executive director of the Plover Area Convention and Visitors Bureau. Basically right smack there in the middle of the state, right smack dab in the middle of the state. She's joining us on WTMJ Outdoors. Hi, Mallory.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I am wonderful on this Saturday. So for the folks who don't know, I know this because I spent a lot of time in Stevens Point and Wisconsin Rapids. Plover's sort of right in that middle, right along the highway there. I think it's 39, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're heading north along I-39, you actually get to Plover before you get to Stevens Point. And we're just east of Rapids, so kind of the entryway to the area, if you will. But Plover in and of itself is just such an incredible destination. So excited to share more.
Yeah, so I love taking my definition of outdoors on our program, WTMJ Outdoors, and expanding it. And I know in our conversations before we started talking today, there's a lot of outside adventures available in the Plover area. So let's go through some of this stuff, including, I love this tagline, you do rush hour differently in Plover. No, I wouldn't necessarily associate a rush hour with Plover, but I know where you're going with that one.
Yeah, so instead of, we kind of love to flip that idea on its head. So instead of sitting in traffic or, waiting for the red light to change or whatever your rush hour typically looks like getting to and from work, Plover kind of flips that on its head. So instead of sitting in traffic, we're mountain biking or we're, playing a round of disc golf. And our rush hour is more of the adrenaline rush that you get versus the sitting in traffic wasting your time.
So let's talk about something.
We love an outdoor.
Oh, you guys, you have it going on. I love Plover. So, and I've actually fished in Plover. So if you are coming up there or you want to find out more, first of all, let's point people in the right direction. Then we're going to break down some of this stuff. How do they find you? How do they find out about these recreational opportunities?
Yeah, so the best resource for people to find us is come over to plover.com, and we've got a really robust website that's going to help people kind of navigate their adventure, find outdoor recs, but also while you're here, you've got to eat, you want somewhere to stay maybe, our website's going to help navigate through the entire trip that somebody might take to Plover.
I love it. Now, you have the trifecta of rivers, Wisconsin, Plover, and Tomorrow Rivers. Lots of opportunities for stuff to do when it comes to the outdoors. Let's walk through some of that.
Absolutely. So truly, no matter what on the water activity you want, Plover or the Plover surrounding area has it, whether it's fishing, kayaking, canoeing, it could be boating in general. There are truly some activities for everyone, and not just for everyone, but also for every skill level too. So the Wisconsin River, we've got the sandbar over at Gilligan's Island. It's incredibly popular along with the sandbar, so it's named after the location at parks. That is really a one-of-a-kind Plover area activity. It's a two-decker pontoon boat that parks out at Gilligan's Island on Saturdays and Sundays during the summer, and kind of beginning up until really until Labor Day. But such an incredible just activity. When you get out there, there's hundreds of boats. It's just such a fun little park, chill, and hang out on the water. If you want the relaxed kind of atmosphere, you can take the Plover River route. You can go kayaking, canoeing, fishing. The Tomorrow River has amazing trout fishing. So we just, we've, like I said, got a ton of different opportunities for no matter what the interest is.
I love the Gilligan's Island name, too, because if you're old enough like me, you remember when that was a TV show. This is it's happening right there in Plover. It sounds like it's a destination spot for a lot of people on those summer weekends.
Oh, yeah, for sure. The sandbar, I mean, when you arrive, you want to get there early just because all of the boats, all the kayaks, paddle boards, people come out in literally anything. But you do have to have either a boat, kayak, or canoe to get there. But people are out there in literally anything. So it's a lot of fun.
Mallory Payne joining us from the Plover Area Convention and Visitors Bureau. She's the executive director there up at Plover. I know that we talked about some of the fishing and boating stuff, but I've done several episodes of the program, WTMJ Outdoors, talking about walking trails and biking. You've got a couple really, really good trails, and you're only 20 minutes from the Ice Age Trail access. So for the folks who are going up to Plover, we'll reach out to you. Talk about those destinations and how they can sort of use their two legs and their two feet to sort of walk around and explore that area.
Absolutely. So we've got several state trails just surrounding the area. So we've got the Green Circle State Trail, and we've got the Tomorrow River State Trail. Those two combined are more than 40 miles of either biking or walking trails. And then for those that are seeking maybe a little bit more adventure, we have Standing Rock County Park, and it's a 524-acre park that has mountain biking, hiking, downhill and cross-country skiing in the winter. That park alone is just so full of outdoor opportunities. But yeah, like you mentioned, we're only 20 minutes from the Ice Age Trail. So if you wanted to plan a weekend of hiking or biking, Plover is a great starting point, covering those couple of trails that we have, as well as some access points to other trails across the state.
Yeah, don't forget that 36-hole disc golf course, too. That's such a popular sport now. Everybody I work with is playing disc golf now, and they tell me, oh, you got to play. We can actually do it there in the county park.
Absolutely. Not just that, too. We've got several other kind of public sporting. So we just opened a state-of-the-art 12-court pickleball complex here in Plover, the 36-hole disc golf. We've got several other outdoor kind of activity sports that are, of course, open and accessible to the public.
So one of the questions I get when we have folks on from across the state for all kinds of activities, are there places to stay, are there places to eat? I know that the answer to this question is yes, but for anyone concerned, there's plenty of hotel space. There's obviously some great restaurants in that area, including some really cool supper clubs. Just sort of set the table, I meant to say that, about the dining opportunities and some of the cool things that are happening up in Plover.
Absolutely. So Plover is really cool in that we have a lot of one-of-a-kind or one-only restaurants. We've got the Sky Club Supper Club. We've got the Colorful Plate Cafe. We have a couple of other restaurants like Club Forest. We've got Springville Sports Barn. There's just so many restaurants here that are locally owned and operated, and they're one-of-a-kind. So it's a unique dining opportunity that no matter where in the state you're coming from, there's not going to be that restaurant anywhere else. So that's, I think, always fun for people to explore something new and travel, you know, especially when people love to travel by fork. It's a great place to do that here in the Plover area. And then as far as staying, we've got four different hotel properties, ranging from our Hampton over to even the Best Western. So a couple of different opportunities in the area. We do also have a few Airbnbs. So if you want to stay on the water, we've got some really great Airbnbs in the area that are right on the Wisconsin River. So just quite a few unique staying opportunities in addition to the hotel.
All right. I'm going to put you on the spot. You're in charge of the Convention and Visitors Bureau. You're executive director.
Yes.
What is your favorite Plover thing to do?
Oh, that is such a good question. I feel like it really depends. But I'll tell you the one thing that I take everybody that comes to visit me to do. And this is, I love going axe throwing at Section 715.
Wow.
I think it's just such a fun activity, no matter what we've done early in the day or what we're getting ready to do. It's just such a fun break in still staying kind of active, but also, you know, obviously getting to go inside, but they've got a really great patio. They've got a bar in there now. So it's just a fun kind of break in whatever activity we had planned or around. But everybody that comes to visit me goes to visit Section 715.
I got to say that's the most unique answer to that question I've gotten in the few months that WTMJ Outdoors has been. So thanks for being original and being honest. I love that. All right, we're going to check in with Mallory Payne from the Executive Director of Plover Area Convention and Visitors Bureau every few months just to find out what's going on in Plover. It is such a great destination spot. I've spent many times on trips throughout the state, and I've been in Plover area. I know a lot of folks in the Stevens Point area and west. Thanks for joining us on WTMJ Outdoors, and we'll check in the fall to see what's happening in Plover. But thanks for joining us, Mallory.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it.
Lots more to come on WTMJ Outdoors. We'll do it after this. We're presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited. I have been fascinated by this. I haven't done a lot of camping or backpacking lately, but every time I go somewhere, whether it's a trip out of country, in country, people are talking about backpacking, and I see people, you know, wearing backpacks. And I had a friend reach out, actually a teammate at work, said there's a guy you should talk to on WTMJ Outdoors. His name is Lloyd Vogel, and he owns and operates a company called Garage Grown Gear. And Lloyd is on the program today. Welcome to the show, Lloyd.
Hey, Steve. Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I know the name's a bit of a tongue twister.
It is, but we won't let that get in the way, Lloyd Vogel. All right, so your company, Garage Grown Gear, tell me what you do and why it's unique in sort of your industry.
Yeah, well, we sell backpacking gear, particularly for ultralight backpacking. So kind of our whole premise is, you know, if you're going to be backpacking and carrying all your stuff with you, it is easier, more enjoyable when your gear that you're bringing is lighter. It allows you to go longer distances faster with less pain, which all feel like things that one can get behind when one is lugged a very heavy pack anywhere. So that means we work with around 300 different brands. We're an online store, so just a platform that you can go onto and find and buy a bunch of outdoor gear. But primarily the brands that we work with are on the smaller side. So, you know, think about folks sewing backpacks in their basement to, you know, maybe a couple of their friends helping out, but usually pretty small businesses.
How did you get into this?
Well, good question. I was a high school special ed teacher, and kind of got burnt out on teaching, and I'd spent a number of summers guiding backpacking and kayaking trips at Camp Manitowish up in Boulder Junction, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And so I'd always had a love and an affinity for the outdoors, and kind of just started thinking about, well, if I'm not going to do this teaching thing, what am I going to do? And I've always really liked gear, so I just kind of started a website and bought a bunch of stuff and tried to see what I could do with it.
I was going to ask you, do you have to road test all this stuff to see what works for you and possibly what might make great products to sell online?
Yeah, that's a good question. When I was first doing it, it was just, yeah, products that I liked, brands that I knew. And so it was easy just to kind of take the stuff that I was already using and try to figure out how to be able to sell it. Now we have a product review team that's in-house. So it consists of folks on our operations side, our buying side, and our marketing side. And any new sample that we get, and we get a ton of random samples that get sent to us. Some of it's really great. Some of it's super weird. we test it. And kind of the first thing that we do when a new brand is interested in selling on Garage Grown is have them send samples so we can make sure that it fits our audience's needs.
I talked to a bike manufacturer recently, a local in Milwaukee area, and they were talking about the impact of the pandemic on how they basically sold everything out in that time because people wanted to get out of their houses, get outside, and do things sort of away from everybody else. Did you see some of that in your industry or your business?
Yeah, definitely. I think, like, really early days in pandemics, I think everyone's buying just kind of like froze up and everyone was really cautious. And we saw, and I think a lot of the brands that we worked with just saw a real constriction of sales. But then everyone started going outside and they didn't do as much international travel because you couldn't. Mm-hmm. So domestic travel really blossomed. And for us, we saw a huge boost in sales and in very odd areas. Like some of it was just across the board, but we saw a huge increase in the dehydrated backpacking meals that we sold, partially because I think a lot of people were just prepping in early pandemic time periods because they didn't know how long this thing was going to last, right, or what the potential impact of it was going to be. And then we saw it in other weird places, like we sell a portable bidet that attaches to the top of like a single-use smart water bottle, mm-hmm, and we sold thousands of these things because people couldn't get toilet paper.
Wow.
So it was just like, big boost kind of overall, but then certain very specific product categories just really flew, and then just product sourcing for pretty much everything across the board. Anything that came, so much fabric, so much raw materials come from overseas that there was just so many gaps in product lines because shipping was just all bungled. So, we're fortunately out of that for the most part, but there's still elements of the industry, particularly the bike industry, that are still kind of reeling from the effects of the pandemic.
So I want to give you a chance to tell people where they can go to find your products before we go to break. We'll bring you back and talk about some of the other things impacting your business. Where can they find you?
They can find us online at www.garagegrowngear.com, or you can stop by our shop in St. Paul.
All right, Lloyd Vogel, he is the owner-operator of Garage Grown Gear that we just talked about. After the break, small business never easy, and how certain economic conditions, tariffs, may be affecting his industry as we march through our Saturday edition of WTMJ Outdoors right here on 620 WTMJ.
Back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors. Our guest, continuing the conversation, he's the CEO and owner-operator, Lloyd Vogel, originally from Sherwood, Wisconsin, by the way, now in the Twin Cities, runs a company called Garage Grown Gear, specializing in ultralight backpacking equipment, camping gear. I was going to ask you, what's the most popular item you sell?
Ooh, right now it's a ultralight Dyneema bear bag to keep your food items safe from black bears and grizzly bears.
Always a good idea. Always a good idea. As someone who's camped, yeah, that's I've had some interactions with bear. That's never interesting or fun. All right. It's always tough. I've had lots of small business operators and owners on the show. We know that the economy is always challenging, especially for small business. Walk us through some of that reality, but also now, because we have to talk about it, the big conversation among businesses large and small is tariffs, that impact. How has that impacted your business?
Yeah, for us, I mean, yeah, as you said, being a small business is never an easy thing, regardless of what the economic crisis is or climate is. It kind of always feels like, and it, particularly for small businesses in our industry, it's, I think there's kind of this this idea, this romanticization of small business in general, but most small businesses don't kind of go out in flames or file for bankruptcy when they close. They kind of just fizzle because it's too hard or too much work. And I think certainly during the pandemic and with tariffs, we've just seen those strains on small businesses increase. And as we work with a lot of small brands, so a lot of the brands that we work with are Made in America brands, which we love. And even with that, so many fabrics, so many raw materials coming from overseas, so many supply chains just move through places like China or Vietnam. If that's from buckles and components that aren't made here to, we have a maker up in northern Minnesota who makes titanium products. Pretty much all of global titanium comes from China or Russia. There just aren't deposits in other places that are easy to get your hands on. Similar with raw materials like down. If we don't have sizable down production here in the United States, it pretty much all comes from Eastern Europe or from China, and the price of down has really skyrocketed.
So how do you deal with that as a business owner? How do you make that adjustment to cost of doing business?
It's tough. I mean, largely it's going to mean price increases, or it's going to mean some of our retailers who traditionally have sold their products to retailers like ourselves or like REI or Backcountry.com or Cabela's not being able to sell to retailers because they just don't have the margins to both absorb the price increase and continue to sell wholesale. And that's a little granular, but it really is something that, you know, I think we've seen some of our brands be able to absorb some of the costs. I think, you know, we've seen probably over the course of the last 6 months, at least 15 to 20% of our brands increase prices, some of those substantially, but most of them kind of just like smaller increases to try to soften as they continue to increase over time, because price increases happen typically yearly for a lot of brands, but mid-year price increases are not something that we're particularly accustomed to.
Lloyd Vogel joining us from Garage Grown Gear. We'll give him a chance to tell you how to find his great products in a second, but I always want to end on a positive note. So you are a guy that celebrates the outdoors. You sell equipment that allows people to have a great time outdoors. What is your most unique experience spent outdoors?
You know, I've been very fortunate to lead a lot of trips, both in the Midwest and then also up in Alaska and up in southern Canada. But this summer, I just hiked the Centennial Trail in western South Dakota, which, you know, I think hikers often have a little bit of a negative rep on Midwestern backpacking, but the Centennial Trail in western South Dakota is absolutely gorgeous. It's about 125 miles, and you get a really wide range of terrain. Not a lot of people on it, and it's right by Sturgis, Rapid City. It's a beautiful part of the country.
Interesting. I want to say thanks for joining WTMJ Outdoors, but I want to give you another chance. If people want to find your stuff, your camping, the ultralight stuff that your company is sort of known for, how can they do that?
They can follow us on Instagram at Garage Grown Gear, or they can visit our website at www.garagegrowngear.com.
All right. CEO, owner-operator Lloyd Vogel, and active outdoors enthusiast. Appreciate you spending the time on WTMJ Outdoors.
Thanks, Steve. Really appreciate it.
All right. Let's talk again.
Sounds good. I'll look forward to it.
All right. You're listening to WTMJ Outdoors on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited. As someone who hunts and has hunted on the same piece of land for, boy, probably 50 or 60 years now, probably 50 is closer, we have a great guest. And I thought about this before because we're always wondering when we're sitting in our deer stands on opening day of gun deer season, in my case, and certainly those bow hunters out there have a different reality as well, earlier in the hunting season. What's on our land? What does it look like? Where are the stands in relation to where the deer are, where the trails are? So I thought this one made perfect sense to talk about as we lead up to the hunting season, especially for deer. On the phone is Lee Vanden Brink. He's the owner of Aerial Wildlife Solutions. Welcome to WTMJ Outdoors.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So tell me about your company. I sort of was doing some research, and it gives people, at least my understanding, an ability to see what's on their property from an aerial drone perspective, correct?
Correct. So there's kind of two stages of the company. One is our mapping service. So we utilize drones for both stages of both of our offerings for the company. The mapping side, we use a drone to create the highest detailed and most up-to-date view of the property. It's kind of like satellite imagery on steroids, because obviously the drone is flying at much lower in elevation. And then the other side is thermal services. So whether that's a deer recovery, or you want to you really manage your land as a landowner and say, I want a tighter buck to doe ratio, or you want to better understand of how your land is offering its habitat to the deer, you're able to get an exact count of how many deer, how many bucks, how many does, how many predators are on your property at any given point.
I'm fascinated by I was watching one of the videos on your website, which is aerialwildlifesolutions.net. It is amazing what the detail you can see, including obviously where the stands are, food plots, trails. I imagine for hunters that maybe think they know what their land looks like, to see it from that top-down perspective, above-ground perspective, is sort of illuminating, especially when it comes to hunting and where you should be located on your land.
Yeah, and we really pride ourselves in just the quality of the map. That's so after the drone gets flown on your property, you get a whatever size print of it that you're able to hang on your wall. You know, our favorite is a magnetic map. So if you're either moving stand locations all over your property, or you like to bring guests to your property, or you're moving cameras all over, you can take little magnets and pin them all over your property. And again, as you said, it's the detail that really takes this to the next level. Most standard satellite imagery is taken when the leaves are on the trees. We specialize in taking this imagery when the leaves are off the trees, so you're actually able to see down to the ground level accuracy and detail.
I want to give you a couple opportunities to share your contact information, because I know folks are going to be interested in this. So if they want to reach out and maybe start that process to be able to have you guys out to their properties and their hunting lands, how do they do that?
Yeah, so you can either visit us on our website. It's aerialwildlifesolutions.com. There's a contact us page option on there that goes to my email. Or you can reach out to me directly. My name is Lee Vandenbrink. Number is 616-885-8647. You can also find us on all the social media channels at Aerial Wildlife Solutions.
So when you go out to someone's property, walk us through the process. I know that there's initial contact, you kind of set up an appointment. Like, so what happens next?
Yeah, for the mapping side, a lot of the landowners like to be there to see the process, but it's not necessary. What's good thing about these drones is most properties we can achieve all of this literally from parking our vehicle on the side of the road. What we do is make a grid around your property. We set those parameters in the drone. We upload that flight route to the drone, and the drone will actually create a grid going back and forth across your property. And it takes several thousand individual images of that property, which is how we're able to get the detail we're able to achieve. So that drone grids it back and forth, takes several thousand images, and then we take all those images and we stitch them together to create one single image. And that's where you can get the print of it. You can have it on your phone. You can go as big or small as you want. That's really as quick and simple as it is.
I imagine the big one, I was looking at the website again, and deer density, and even deer location, in certain times of the year, deer herd up. It would be interesting as a landowner to see where those deer are located, even when you're not hunting.
Yeah, absolutely. And we work with a lot of land managers, too, on that level, whether, you know, for one, if you pay the land manager to come out to your property and improve the habitat, what he did, is it actually working? Are there deer utilizing that section of the property more than they were before? Or a lot of guys like myself, if you're doing the habitat improvement yourself and you know, seeing truly is believing. So you want to know, is this section, this clear cut section 3 years later have enough regeneration, regrowth to sustain more deer on the property? Or on the opposite side, do you have too many deer in your property, which he knows a lot of cases and circumstances here in Michigan is people don't realize how many deer are actually on their property. The browse can't handle that, sustain that many deer on the property. So, you know, going into the season on the ethical side and the management side of like how many deer do I need to take off my property each year?
One of the things, sort of a general question, but I'm always curious about is like, what's the like most surprising thing that people discover about their properties once you give them a visual?
Most of the time it is where the deer are bedding and how they're utilizing the deer are utilizing their property. A lot of guys, I'll ask them, how many deer do you think are on your property? They're usually on the low side. There's more deer than they actually anticipated. But also the deer, where they are located on their property, once that person enters their property to go hunting, to go walk to their blind, there's no way they're not going to jump that deer and push it off its property while they're entering into their blind. So I think that's the most shocking thing that most people say. And it's always just the deer are positioned around their access to know if they're be hunted that day or not.
Lee Vanden Brink, he's joining us as the owner of Aerial Wildlife Solutions. We'll take a break here on WTMJ Outdoors. After the break, I'll ask Lee how he got into this business and his story. You're listening, of course, to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors. My guest for the last two segments, Lee Vanden Brink. He's the owner of Aerial Wildlife Solutions, where they can actually look at your property and see what's going on as far as deer traffic and other things happening. The lay of the land, as they say. I'm always curious about people's stories, Lee. How did you get into this business, and what's your interest in it?
Yeah, so I come from a background of film and photography. I've been a field producer in the outdoor industry for the last 10 years. So I've always used drones. I've always been a storyteller, per se, by utilizing a drone and just that perspective of the land. So it fit nicely. Once I purchased a thermal drone, we were able to start actually flying a drone and have zero impact on, you know, the deer, being able to fly at over 300 in elevation. So you're able to see all the deer on your property without any impact on the deer. And then from a visual standpoint, I always loved photography. So it's you know, back in the day, people always had that single image of their house that the plane flew over and took for them and they hang on their wall. Well, I wanted to be able to offer that for on grand levels as far as, you know, whether you own 40 acres or 4,000 acres. We wanted to be able to offer the highest detailed view of that possible.
I've talked a lot on my regular radio show about technology and how it changes things. And certainly I spent a lot of time this summer on the program talking about fishing and the technology, incredible technology with sonar and forward-facing sonar and all the challenges that presents, all the legal questions. But on the technology side of deer hunting, I mean, obviously the equipment doesn't change that much. But in this case, the sort of the awareness and the understanding of what your property looks like and what's going on as far as the deer and other animals on your property. It's a look at technology and how it's sort of shaping the future for hunting, Lee.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you look back at when trail cameras first came around, there was a lot of discrepancy about, is that ethical? As a business, you always have to, you know, understand the fine line of where ethics and technology kind of coexist with each other. So one thing that we do pride ourselves in is maintaining that ethical and fair chase. So, you know, it's, you can have all this technology, and when used improperly, it's not really a reflection on the technology, but more so the person actually using it. So, you know, we pride ourselves in staying ethical and having fair chase, but also technology is ever evolving, so we're here to utilize it as well.
So for folks who may be interested, we'll give you a chance to get to share your contact, but how far do you go? Is there a limit to the range you can cover with your business?
Yeah, so we work with a network of trained pilots kind of all across the Midwest. I would say we are in almost every state now, kind of east of Nebraska. So whether you're in Wisconsin, Georgia, New York, or Ohio, we have a pilot that we work with in that area, and we're always gaining more pilots. Our goal is to be able to offer this to every single landowner that, you know, truly wants to see their land in a different view.
All right. For folks who are interested and would like to at least explore this opportunity of using technology to aid them in assessing what their land looks like and the deer population and other animal populations on it, how do they find you?
Yeah, you can either reach out to me directly on our website. Our website is aerialwildlifesolutions.com. You can find us on all the social media channels at Aerial Wildlife Solutions or contact me directly. My name is Lee Vanden Brink, and my number is 616-885-8647.
I was thinking about this question as you were talking. What's like the weirdest thing you've discovered on people's property? Something they didn't even know was there. Maybe an old car or something?
We've actually seen that quite a bit. We fly places that people say they'd never even just walk that section of the property, especially if they just purchased the property. As far as the weirdest thing that we've ever noticed, I think it was actually what was happening on their property, with other people. That was the weirdest thing that I've seen. So yeah, it's not really what we found. It's, I guess it is what we found, but it's on a different level of other people using their property.
Fascinating stuff. Lee Vandenbrink, owner, Aerial Wildlife Solutions. Thanks for coming on WTMJ Outdoors. Love the conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Always great conversation. We'll see you next week.